This happened to me back in the early 2000s. I was living with my ex in Texas. My girl and I had been forced to move cross-country after we lost everything in a house fire. We were in a very bad position, and when all hope appeared to be lost, her family offered to rent us a place that had been just sitting, unused. The few things that survived the fire were packed into our old Jeep and we hit the road. 2 days later, we arrived at her Aunt Jenny's house, road-worn and ready to get moved in. We didn't have much, so it didn't take long. Although we had to spend the first night in sleeping bags on the floor, it was a giant first step toward getting our lives back. Early the next morning, we went shopping for a new bed. It was probably the most satisfying event in my life up to that point, and I never slept better than in that bed. Maybe it was just the relief of having a stable place to live, but I still look back at that time with fondness. The next few days were spent scouring Goodwill and charity shops for furniture, lamps, and such. And by the end of the week, we were settled in and it was time to look for work. I've never been averse to hard work. Maybe I'm a masochist, but I've always sought out the most physically strenuous jobs I could find. I think a lot of the employers I encountered were a bit shocked at how hard I pushed myself. My insane work ethic has a lot to do with my upbringing. I was one of four children in a very poor family. We lived in a remote part of West Virginia and life was beyond tough. Going to bed hungry was a regular occurrence, and although I was not above raiding the neighbors' gardens in the warmer seasons, my Christian morals stopped me from becoming a full-blown criminal. I'd rather not go into too much depth about my folks, but suffice it to say my dad's love of the good life meant he rarely had a job for very long. Mom did the best she could, but she had her hands full taking care of us, and as soon as my last sister got old enough to go to school, Mom began working part-time with her sister at the dry cleaners. Once I was old enough, I took her place there and she moved on to better-paying work. Dad and Mom had split up by then. Life only got harder after that, but somehow, we all survived to become useful members of society with families of our own. At that time, there was plenty of work to be had. Texas was just beginning to grow in the economic powerhouse that it is today, and everywhere I looked, houses were popping up and new people were moving in. Folks were hiring for every imaginable position. I'd done landscaping work before, so it seemed logical to try. I bounced from job to job, site to site, doing any work that had let me. It put food on the table, but working in the Texas summer was rough, and the rainy days weren't much better. For some crazy reason, I turned to the food service industry. I was trading one hot place for another. Stupid in retrospect, but I'd been a line cook after high school. I knew my way around a kitchen. There are a few things in the South people like more than eating, and our area was overflowing with places to do it. I landed a part-time position washing dishes. The pay was all right, but I was getting killed on gas costs in the long run. I was about to go back to landscaping when I got a call from a Waffle House. The pay was better and the location was less than a mile from our home. I could walk to work and Missy could take the car if she needed to, and it seemed like the best thing to do. Now we could both work full-time rather than juggle our schedules with one car, and I went for the interview and was hired in less than 15 minutes. Missy was over the moon to hear it, and I'll admit that I was pretty excited too. Stable work, no matter what it is, can go a long way to ease your money concerns. Missy's boss had been nagging her to take on more hours, and now she could. Overall, things were beginning to look up. As I walked to the restaurant that Monday night, I had the worst case of butterflies in my life. For some reason, my instincts told me this job would be like none before it, and boy, did I turn out to be right. My first couple of weeks turned out to be relatively uneventful. There were occasional drunks getting a little rowdy, but they usually calmed down if we were assertive enough. The rest of the staff were cool too. Most of them were older than me, but they didn't take themselves too seriously. When it was slow, we'd talk about where we'd come from and our hopes for the future. But when we were slammed, everyone kept their heads down and got the food out as quickly as possible. And everything was going really well until one Friday night, when an especially drunk man came in looking for trouble. In Texas, the bars usually close down at 2 a.m. Around 2:30 or so, the drunk stumbled in looking for something good and greasy to soak up all that booze. Waffle House is a very popular place to do so. On this night, the regular group of bar patrons came in for their late night meals, and since this was a smaller city, we knew most of the people that came in. The overwhelming majority were salt-of-the-earth hardworking folks just looking to let off a little steam. They were harmless for the most part. Unfortunately, this situation was going to be different. From what I recall, it was just before 3 a.m. when a very intoxicated stranger staggered into the restaurant. I didn't recognize him, but I was there to cook food, not vet people. And anyway, the drunk man paced around, occasionally stopping at tables and then walking on to the next. Most of the other patrons ignored him and focused on their meals. And that was until the drunk man stopped at the bar and began leaning too close to one of the regulars. And I'll just call this guy Mike. Mike had been coming in on the weekends way before I was hired, and I bet he still does. Mike had his own share of drinks and must have been annoyed at the other man's presence. He started barking at the man to get away from him, and he told him he stunk. The stranger took offense to this and tried to take a swing at Mike, but missed. Mike pushed him down onto the floor and stood up from his stool. He was looking down at the stranger, shaking his finger at him while he cursed him out. The drunk stranger stumbled back to his feet and rushed toward Mike. He managed to punch Mike in the chest and stomach a few times before Mike pushed him away again. The stranger fell back onto the table behind him and just stared for a minute before turning and running out of the restaurant. I chuckled to myself as I watched the brief fight before turning back to my work. A few moments later, I heard a woman's voice say something like, "You're bleeding from your chest, Mike." I turned back around to see Mike wiping at the front of his gray shirt. There were a few dark spots on it, and when Mike looked at his hand, there was what appeared to be blood on it, and that was when we realized the drunk stranger had stabbed him, not punched him. It looked like he managed to pull out a knife during the scuffle and got a few quick jabs before Mike could stop him. I'm not sure what made me do it, but I ran to the back and grabbed a stack of hand towels, and from there ran over to Mike and began putting pressure on the wounds. By now, Mike had dropped to the floor from shock, I think, and a few other patrons helped me hold the towels on the wounds while we waited for the ambulance to arrive. This whole time, Mike was talking about his kids. I did my best to assure him that he was going to be okay, but to be honest, I had no idea how serious his injuries were. About 7 minutes later, the ambulance arrived and whisked Mike away. We had to close things down while we talked to the police. And just before dawn, we were able to get things up and running again, and all I could do that morning as I walked home was think about Mike. I continued to wonder about his condition that whole weekend, and when I showed up for work that Monday, I was told that he had a rough time but was now out of danger and recuperating in the hospital. For the next few weeks, I was given little updates by some of the customers that knew his family. He was doing well and enjoying his time off of work, though. I think almost 2.5 months passed when I was standing at the flat top and heard a familiar voice behind me. I turned around to see Mike standing there with his big toothy grin. I asked how he was doing and he said he was great. And we shook hands and he gave me a big hug. He thanked me for saving his life. I wasn't sure if I had, but I wasn't about to be rude, and I could tell that he was serious. I quickly mentioned the others and tried to be humble about my part in it. And from there, the subject just veered off onto other topics and I returned to my work. I'd continued to see Mike regularly for about a year until I got a better paying job elsewhere. It's been at least 15 years since I last saw him, and I hope he's still doing well. I'm not sure if the drunk guy that stabbed him was ever caught that night. It never seemed appropriate to ask. He moved on with his life and I didn't want to stir up bad memories. Mike, if you do happen to hear this or see this, give me a call. I'd love to catch up. I used to work at the Waffle House in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. People sometimes ask me if I ever saw one of those Waffle House brawls or anything like that, but honestly, it really wasn't that kind of place. We were just down the street from a bunch of bars and stuff, and the Lehigh College campus was less than a mile away, so we definitely got our fair share of customers during the midnight hours. But I think during all the night shifts that I worked, I only saw maybe 2 or 3 physical confrontations, and those mostly consisted of a little shoving before the two people about to fight were separated by their friends. And that's not to say that I didn't end up quitting after a very violent incident. It's just that the incident in question happened to be considerably more messed up than some dumb street brawl. As you can probably guess, weekend night shifts tended to be the busiest when it came to drunk college kids or sports fans stopping by for all-star specials. But the weekday night shifts could actually be pretty quiet. You'd get your giggly stoners staring at the menus for like 20 minutes before ordering, but they were never any trouble at all. And the same went for the truckers and shift workers who came in the store cold sober for their patty melts and hash browns. But then this one night, we had this super sketchy crackhead-looking guy walk through the doors, and I swear to God, when he first walked in, I was like 90% certain that he was about to pull out a gun and rob us. The Waffle House I worked at never had a single robbery for the whole time that I was employed there, but it was still one of your biggest fears when it came to working the night shifts. And whenever anyone came in who fit that profile, basically anyone who looked like they were on crack, we always got a little nervous and kept an extra eye on them. The guy was definitely high on something, and not only was he twitchy as hell, but after ordering his food, he just sat in his booth, intermittently looking over at us without even touching his grilled cheese. I let my coworkers know that the guy was giving me some pretty bad vibes, then carried on cleaning down my station while kind of low-key scoping him out. As I'm watching Mr. Twitch, some regular-looking white guy with dark hair walks in and then orders a coffee and a piece of triple chocolate pie. My coworker serves him and he takes a seat at the counter to drink his coffee, so I just keep on cleaning while I watch Mr. Twitch. Mr. Twitch looks up and we make eye contact for a second, and then he looks back down with a sort of nervous expression, like he's either high out of his mind or something and the paranoia is kicking in, or he's thinking about doing something crazy. And I'm getting more and more nervous, but then to my left I hear, "Don't I know you?" And I look around to see that Mr. Coffee and Pie has turned around on his stool and is talking to a guy eating in the booth behind him. The guy in the booth is like, "I don't think so." But then Mr. Coffee and Pie is like, "No, you went to such and such elementary school. You were in my fourth grade math class with Mrs. So-and-so." And I can hear that the guy at the table having a bit of moment of recognition, but I wasn't watching them like I was watching Mr. Twitch. They go back and forth about how crazy it is to run into one another in a Waffle House at 1:30 in the morning, and then start reminiscing about this and that and the other. I lost track of their conversation when I went to get some more cleaning supplies, but when I returned, they were wrapping up their chance encounter with a few good-to-see-yous and take-cares. But then, out of nowhere, Mr. Coffee and Pie stops by the door and says, "Oh, and one more thing." Then I look over, just in time to see him pull a gun from out of his jacket. The guy sitting in the booth didn't stand a chance. He looked up just in time to see Mr. Coffee and Pie pull the trigger, and then after three shots, the guy slumped forward onto his half-eaten plate of food. The place was so quiet after Mr. Coffee fired his gun that after I ducked down below the counter, I heard the sound of the gun hitting the floor after he dropped it. I stayed down below the counter while I heard the door open and close, and then everyone stayed silent for a few more seconds until some lady started screaming like a goddamn banshee. At the time, there wasn't really any kind of contingency plan for someone getting shot in the face at your Waffle House, so we did the only thing we could think of, and got everyone that hadn't run off to walk behind the counter so we could guide them out into the rear parking lot. Naturally, everyone was extremely shaken up, and the woman that had been screaming was hysterically crying. The restaurant was closed for a few days after that because obviously the cops had to perform all kinds of crime scene analytics and forensic stuff. Waffle House offered us free counseling and a bonus to anyone from that shift who would return to work. But unlike my three coworkers, who were working with me on the night of the murder, I didn't take management up on their offer, no matter how generous it may have seemed. Now call me a coward, but I just figured, why go and work back at a place like that? Where every time I wiped down a table, every time I looked at it, I'd be reminded of that guy slumped over in his food, with that stream of blood just oozing off the table onto the floor. I take my hat off to anyone that could just go back and act like nothing happened, but to me personally, I'd rather just get a job someplace else. Someplace I don't have memories of someone getting murdered, right there, in front of me.
A few years ago, I was driving back from work pretty late at night. I was going home, and normally I don't work quite that late, but it had been a long one. At this point, I was extremely hungry, and I hadn't had a chance to eat in a long time. On the drive home, I didn't normally pass by many restaurants. I happen to live a little bit out in the country, and there aren't a bunch of places to go to, so I was keeping my eyes out for a place to stop, and I remember I pulled off the highway and I took an exit. My options there were a gas station, and then a little ways down the road, I saw a sign for a Subway. At this point, it was probably like 10-something at night. I didn't know if Subway would still be open, but I thought that I would go and look. So when I drove down the road, it appeared as though the Subway was open. The lights inside were on, and I remember that I thought I saw somebody in there when I was driving into the parking lot. However, there weren't any other cars in the parking lot. I decided to park, get out, and go to the door to see. When I did so, the door opened up and I realized that it was in fact open. At least, I thought. After walking inside the Subway, it was very quiet and I didn't see anybody inside anymore. I walked up to the counter where you start ordering. I figured the employee was maybe in the back or something, and after they heard me coming in, they would probably come out to take my order. Just a few seconds after getting to the counter though, the lights suddenly turned off, and it went almost completely dark. The only light was coming in from the large windows that they had in the front of the store. I looked around, wondering what was going on. After maybe 30 seconds or so, I figured that I would just leave. But before I walked away, I heard some noises coming from the back, which was around the corner and out of my sight. That's when I saw a man coming into view. It looked like he had entered from the back room, and I thought that it was an employee at first. I couldn't see the man very well at all because of the dark. But with the light that I did have from the window, I noticed that this man was not wearing a Subway uniform in any way. He just stood there for a moment, looking at me. I decided that I would leave still. This situation overall just seemed very strange, so I began to head over to the door. But when I did, I heard the man start walking from behind the counter. I didn't really know where he was going, but it actually sounded like he was going towards me. When I reached the doors, I glanced back and saw the guy swiftly walking my way. He was maybe 20 feet away from me. The man did not say anything, and neither did I. I just left the Subway and started going back to my car. I then heard the man actually leave the restaurant after me. I looked behind me and the guy was getting closer. At that point, I wasn't sure what else to do, so I just started running. I sprinted all the way to my car, unlocked the door, and got inside. Luckily, I didn't have to back up to leave, because the parking lot connected to another one, so I just hit the gas and drove away from there. The man had almost reached my car, but I left him standing there in the parking lot, and I drove away. I then went all the way back home, not bothering to stop any place else. I was too creeped out by the situation, and made something to eat at home. Now, I still don't know exactly what was going on in that Subway. I'm guessing that they were closed, but for some reason the door was open. Was the man that I saw attempting to steal from the place, or was he just chilling in the back? I really don't know. But I do know that he chased after me, and I'm glad that I got away. One time last year, I went to a Subway at night. I was just going to get a sub, and the Subway restaurant was only about 5 minutes from my house. It was located in a quiet strip mall that had several other businesses in it. So I went there at probably about 8 p.m. I remember that it was completely dark out because it was the springtime, and the area was also pretty quiet. Most of the other businesses in the strip mall were now closed. I walked inside of the Subway and I ordered. It didn't take very long because nobody else was there, and then I got my sandwich. I remember that when I was getting a drink from the fountain, I noticed a man passing by on the sidewalk out front, outside of the Subway. The man was somewhat tall, had shaggy looking hair, and was wearing a t-shirt and sweatpants. So I remember that he looked in the window at me as he was passing by, but then he continued walking and went out of sight. After I got my drink and stuff, I walked out and I left the subway. I was starting to walk to my car in the parking lot when I heard somebody approaching me. There were footsteps a little behind me and to my right. I looked over and I saw the same man. He was approaching me, and before I knew it, the man was right next to me. I stopped to see what the guy wanted. When I did, he asked me if I could give him a ride over to the gas station and pointed in the direction. The way he pointed, there was a gas station within sight, and it really wasn't that far away at all. It was kind of in the direction of where I lived, too. Obviously, I didn't want to give this man a ride, though. I didn't know him or anything, so I said to the guy that I was in a hurry to get home. But as I started to walk away, the man followed. He said that it wasn't far, and he just needed to go to the gas station and was meeting a friend there. I finally said yes and told the man that I would give him a ride. I feel stupid saying that, because obviously it's not smart to give a ride to a random person you first see at night. But that's what I did, and I was just hoping that it would be a quick drive to drop the man off. I mean, it would take less than a minute to get to the gas station, and it was within sight. It was just a little bit to the left of the strip mall and almost behind it. And the gas station was open, and there looked to be several other cars there. So the man got in the passenger side of my car, and I got in the driver's seat. After getting inside, the man was nice and said thank you to me and said that he was really cold and didn't want to walk all that way. It was pretty cold out with it being the early spring and nighttime. So I left the parking lot of the strip mall where the subway was. Then I drove out of the parking lot onto a busier street. After we went to the left, the gas station was just to the right. But the entire drive, neither me or the man said anything. It was just awkward silence. After I turned into the gas station, I pulled into a parking space in the backside of the parking lot. It had been a quick and easy drive. When I stopped, though, the man did not immediately get out of my car. So I said something like, "All right, have a good night now." But he didn't get out. He just sat there. It was really awkward for like 30 seconds, and I was getting a bad feeling about this whole situation. At this point, I was kicking myself for letting a stranger get in my car at all. So finally, I said to the man, "We're here. Isn't this where you wanted to go?" The man finally spoke. He said this wasn't the correct gas station. He said it was another one that was a ways down the road, and he pointed to the east. That was not the direction that I was going. I thought the man needed to go to this gas station, and I was sure that's where he pointed. I told him this is where I thought he was going, and he said no, as if I was stupid for thinking that. I told him that I was not going in that direction and I had to go home now. He didn't respond, and he didn't get out either. This man seemed really annoyed with me that I somehow didn't know exactly where he was going. I told him I couldn't go there, and I wasn't going any further. He did not seem happy about it, and did not get out of my car. The man told me to drive him to the other gas station. I was getting pretty nervous. I didn't know if this guy could possibly be dangerous or something like that. I asked him to get out of my car, and he said no. At this point, I didn't really know what to do. Then, as we were sitting there, I noticed a police car pulling into the gas station. When I saw this, I was thinking maybe I should try to get the cop's attention. But as I was still thinking that, the man next to me suddenly got out of my car. He opened the door, left my vehicle, and then started quickly walking away. The guy started heading towards the building, and then I just left. I went home, and I told myself that I would never let a stranger in my car again. Looking back, I'm not sure what that guy was planning to do. I figured that when he saw the cop, he knew he was up to no good, and he left. I'm really glad that the police officer pulled into the parking lot when he did,